Hello and welcome to another episode of Are We There Yet? A podcast about ADHD and success and the correlation between both. I would like to just start with a quick apology for the fact that I've just realized it's been probably about 7 weeks since the last episode, but I did make it clear in the very first intro that I may do three in a week and then not do one for 3 months. So at least it's not 3 months, is the way I'm looking at this. But it's a mixture of having to juggle between my motivation, my timetable, plus another ADHDer's motivation and their timetable. So naturally, it's a bag of cats in separate bags. But today, we're looking to interview the wonderful hetero life mate that is George Mackay Shore. Hi, George.
Hello, you said the name correct. I expected no less from a Scotsman. Seriously, the number of times people say Mackay, or I've actually had people say Mackie as well, which has, it incenses me a little bit, but it made my ex-wife even worse because I took her name. Okay, I'm gonna yeah.
It's
Let's
okay.
get back. Let's get back on track.
Great start to a tangent. To be fair, it doesn't matter who you are. You can't really compete with me when it comes to surnames. My second name is a question. It makes it really easy, especially with my accent, and no one can understand me when people say, "Oh, what's your surname? What? What's your surname? What?" And to the point where I just start getting pedantic and like, "What is your surname?" And I'm like, "Yes." But yeah, that's just me being me. But hey, but George, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself first of all? What is it that you do?
So I am a software engineer, working for a consultancy that's like nationwide at the moment. Not entirely certain if I should plug them, but hey, why not? They're called And Digital. They're amazing.
Amazing as an employer or amazing
yeah, amazing
remote?
as an employer, which I'll probably talk about at some point because it'll come up. Like I say, software developer, working on different projects over the past. I've been with them for about a year and a quarter now. Currently on a project for a large banking group, based in the UK, to do something with their what's it, pensions or something like that. I'm doing testing there because,
So you do the boring stuff as well as the fun stuff.
well. Oh yeah, I mean that's the thing about being a software developer. It's to me, it's all fun. Other people see it and it's like, oh, that is so boring. It's like, ah, code. I can sit down and type for years. Oh, I need to eat.
Yeah, I've hyper-focused on more spreadsheets than I care to admit, to be honest. But like you're so obviously to be a software developer. Not necessarily nowadays, actually, because a lot of people self-teach themselves a lot of programming. But when you were in school, like all those years ago, what was it like being there, like using abacuses instead of
It's
calc?
Abacai. Abacai.
No. No. What? So, did you always want to be with software developing, even like a viable sort of like? You go to computer science, you do this. I'm not taking the piss out of your age. I'm more just meaning like.
No, it's yeah. One of my earliest memories while in primary school was when the teacher asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? I piped up and said, I want to be a prisoner. Which got some laughs.
Wow.
She said, don't you mean a prison warden? It's like, yeah, we'll go with that. I didn't. It's just, the first thing you say when you're young, the first thing you say is, yeah, who knows what they want to do when they're young? But
He wants to know
yeah,
what they want to do when they're old.
exactly. But yeah, the so like I did know from an early age. I was always very good with computers. My granddad was doing an Open University course back in the early 80s, where he got actually the Open University sent to him a ZX81, as well as the course materials, because it was that cheap to do. And so my granddad being my granddad, started it, didn't quite finish it, carried on doing what he does, and handed it to me. So when I was something like 3-4 years old, maybe, I got the ZX81, and, you know, the typing, pressing the little keys to get the words appear on screen and have like a pretend Space Invaders game, you know, it was like just absolutely mind-blowing. And, you know, I always kind of pursued that because it was very natural to me, and, you know, much like maths, because it was very mathsy based. And yeah, I really, yeah, it's one of those, like, you never really think about it until you're asked about it. But yeah, it was always like that. But I didn't actually go to university until I was 24 to do like computer science. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, I should go back first. I didn't go to sixth form college. I did go to sixth form college, but I didn't do computing or any computer, subjects. Yeah. Until like 6 weeks into my first year, because I started doing maths, further maths, chemistry and physics, because, you know, I had three, four weeks to actually fill the forms out and get into a place. I got told, yeah, you can go to this place, but you've got to get it done by 2 weeks from now. It's like, I didn't realize I had to do that. Ah. And so, yeah, I did that. Got into those courses. 6 weeks in, I'm like, I want to go on those computers. I'm going to change. So I just went, I said, I want to change to computing. Oh, do you have any experience of computing? Blurted out everything from the BBC to Spectrum to the things that I have at home and all the, you know, all the hobby sort of things I did. I'm really good at saying that kind of, this is what I can do without actually having done it.
Mm-hmm.
Hope nobody that I know is listening.
my work actually has a really good, it's like the official line that it's really good that I'm not 100% sure everyone understands it, where they say, no one wants to hire the person who can do the job. They want to hire the person who can do half the job so that they can then teach them how to do the job their way.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at a job and there's, say, 10 key requirements, if you can do 5 of them, apply for that job, mm-hmm. and use the other 5 as your development. Because otherwise you'll go and be able to do the job and then you'll move again because it's boring and you want to move on.
Yeah.
Is it? So it's a good way to look at it for me anyway, but I know that from a management point of view, there are people who are like, we want you to do the job.
That's kind of similar to where I'm working at the moment with AND. They place a lot of focus on, you know, developing the person. So, you know, they know that people, there's going to be people with a really wide, you know, a nice set of skills who can do the job. And so to stop them from being bored, there's courses that they provide. There's, you know, they encourage you to have time off to do certifications. We get extra time off, paid time off to do certifications, literally 2 weeks worth of extra time off.
Wow.
And we get a training budget as well as part of working there, which, you know, is absolutely amazing. Got a really good set of internal training materials. So yeah, you know, it's very, very, I'm not doing the sales pitch, but it's really useful. If you do feel like you're getting bored, you can just say, oh, well, I'm going to try and do this. I'm going to do this course and just see if I can use that in my work. And if I can't, well, I've got another skill. I can do more skills and get better. And it helps them progress that person, you know, throughout the career with, you know.
It works well for everybody, I feel, because they're getting someone that they can kind of mold, and you are still picking up the additional skills and things as well. So you said you've been with this company for, what, 18 months or so, yeah?
Yeah, something like that. Well, just short of.
And when were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed, 2017. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Right.
I was working as a game developer for a studio in Leeds who do games for children. So it's not Rockstar. Yeah, and the group of friends and my then girlfriend, who became my wife, they sort of noticed behaviors in me that was like, "You, are you sure you don't have ADHD?" It's like, "Nah, I'm fine, I'm fine." I'd never written because the whole stereotype of ADHD is the kid who can't sit down and is like running around and is always like hyper and all that. Because my earliest experience, my earliest exposure to ADHD was that episode of Simpsons where Bart gets put on,
I don't
I can't
know, the
remember,
nubby.
focusing. There's a yeah Bart is diagnosed with ADHD and gets put on focusing, which is this experimental drug, and it makes him, I can't remember the rest of the episode, damn it, but I do remember the little jingle at the end. It's like, "I can't stop my fiddling till like takes me really, and I'm popping and two in man." Boop, boop. So yeah, so that's
Oh,
the
that would not fly
earliest.
today.
It wouldn't, it ha
Not
well, I
even a little
mean
bit.
it would, because it's I think it a lot of it is the whole it's a satire on the way that everything is has pills thrown at it in the States, for example. You have a cold, you get given pills for it. I've never heard of cough medicine. You
It's just honey and
everything,
lemon. That's all you need. Honey and lemon.
yeah, and a bit of whiskey. Or I've been reading on Wikipedia, some camphor wood. Just have that soaking in some water. The camphor helps to decongest you.
Oh, I have no idea what camphor is. I don't even think I could spell it.
It's
Oh,
you
wait.
know how you
I
get
got live transcriptions on. I think that is picked up. That is the only word it is picked up for me. I love live transcriptions.
that's
Oh,
brilliant.
cool. Apparently, I love five transcripts. Anyway, sorry, get distracted by the transcripts. Anyway.
Where was I? I can't remember. Couldn't have been.
The inappropriate jingle for Bart Simpson in that
Oh
one.
yeah. Like I say, I think it's just it was quite a satire on the thing where you get pills thrown at you to fix things, which I can understand that. But yeah, it probably wouldn't fly nowadays. It wasn't it's not made for nowadays, it's made
No.
for 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the Simpsons were good at telling the future, just not the PC nature of it. But see, with like your parents and things, what I mean, when I was younger, it was very much I get a trade. You need a trade. Now, I got into college in fourth year to do plumbing and heating engineer. I then got in fifth year to do to become an electrician, I think it was. And then I left in sixth year because that's the last year of high school and they made me. And then I went and did graphic design at college. But my parents were very much like, you get a trade and that is like stable work and you'll never be out of a job and all that. It's like, yeah, that's not necessarily the case anymore. Computing is more that sort of way now. Whereas, like back when you were in college and things, were your parents encouraging of what you were wanting to do, or were they academic themselves? Like, what was their sort of like, this is what you need to be successful?
Oh, my mum was always supportive of what I wanted to do. She always nurtured me to like follow this the computing thing. Helped me save up money to get a brand new ZX Spectrum Plus 2 back in 1987. Helped me save up the money, and I got that. And every sort of like couple of weeks, she'd take me to the, we'd go to the market on a Saturday, get some games, because 2.99 for cassette tapes from the dodgy stand. Hey, couldn't beat it. But yeah, I mean, she's been supportive, but never really told me, oh, you
Interested.
need to do this, you need to do that. It's not that she wasn't interested, it's
No,
just
as in
that
like not
I.
interested in the computing side of it, more like just help you with what you want to do type thing.
Yeah, it was. She's always been there for like moral support because she's. It's not like she knew what I needed to do to go down this, to go down the route of doing computing or becoming a programmer and all that. But she's never told me, oh no, you need to be a doctor or you need to be a lawyer or anything like that.
See, I've just recently been, it's been recently brought to my attention that my mother is now listening to this podcast. So, as I would have said anyway, my mother is the most supportive person in the world. She's amazing. She's great. She is absolutely fantastic. Now you can turn off the podcast. Okay. Anyway, but so see, that's good. It's very much a nurturing your hobby rather than a we want you to go down this path. Once you're there, you can do what you want, but just make sure you go down this path first.
Yeah, well, that's what it's always been for me, computing and programming and stuff like that. It's always been a hobby. I didn't really think of pursuing it as a career until like I actually had gotten into university. So when I was in sixth form, I got a job as a copy taker for what's the word? Like a publication that does free ads over in Manchester. So a place called Loot. So I was, for a few years after, so once I'd done that, because I was working part-time whilst doing my studies, I was like, I don't think I'm gonna get the grades to go into uni. The place that I wanted to go, if I wanted to go into uni, was requiring me to have I think it was an A and two Bs. And I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna get that. I'll get an A, but the rest of it, I'm not entirely certain. Because never really focused on doing any of the work because I was always reliant on my natural ability.
I this is something. See, when I was in high school, I was top of the class for first 2 years. Then in my third year, that's when it all fell down, and I ended up in all the middle classes, which was fine for me. I didn't want to go lower, but I wasn't interested in being any higher, because I decided I wasn't going to uni. That was just kind of a fact, but it was. I was just quite happy just moseying along in the middle. And if it was something that I wasn't good at, I just wouldn't do it and I'd just move on to something else.
Well, it was kind of like that for me. But I think I knew from like from the start of the second year that I wasn't going, I just didn't have the discipline while I was at home to do the homework, the coursework, study and things like that. Because I wasn't taught how to at like in high school. You don't get taught how to actually study and apply yourself. You get all these things, oh, you need to apply yourself more, but no kind of details on how to do that. That's what needs to be done. If you say you need to do something, provide an example of how to do it. Because for people who can't apply themselves, for example, showing them how they can and give them a template of what to do will work wonders, in my opinion. I mean, it would for me. It took me like I when I went to uni when I was 23, after being in full-time employment with the place I was that I'd started at sixth form, I set off doing Japanese. So my first year of uni was doing Japanese. And I was like, right, I'm going to actually do this. I'm gonna start studying. I'm gonna write essays properly. I'm gonna learn languages properly. And that didn't turn out quite as well as I'd hoped. My language learning allegedly was better than my essay writing, where I thought it was the other way around. So, you know, who knows? But while I was doing Japanese, there was a girl in my halls, because I was in student halls, who was having issues with some work. She was doing cognitive science, which is a it was a dual honors mix of psychology and computer science. Yeah,
Very fancy.
Leeds University do some crazy, crazy courses, I tell you. But she comes over and she's talking to me about you know, what I do, if I knew anything about Java. And I was like, yeah, I've done Java in the past. It's like, oh, well, can you come and have a look at this for me? I need some help with it. It's like, yeah, cool. So I'm looking at the code and I'm sort of explaining to her where, you know, what's going on, how she could make it a bit better. And she was like, oh my word, that's just cleared it up in my mind. And as I was sat down, I'm like, I could do this as a course, couldn't I? I'm going to do that. So off I trundled. I goes to the student support people. It's like, yeah, I want to change the computer science. So, okay. Do you have any? I got interviewed by the two student intake. You'd call them hiring managers nowadays, but you know, the student people. And like, okay, so why do you want to change? It's like, I explain to him the whole history of computers for me. And it's like, okay, so what sort of things do you know? It's like, I just started reeling off everything about Linux, about networking, about games and assembly language. It's like, okay, yep, we've heard enough. I think you'll do really well in this course. And yeah, I did eventually. Again, when it got to the first year, I coasted through with my own what's it called? With my own oh, I forgot the word now.
Natural
Ability.
ability.
That's the one, yeah. And then the second year, things started to get a little bit more intense. It's like, yeah, I can do this. You know, I had a good support network of people who were there. So I was doing homework. I was doing the what's it called, the courseworks. And then I met a girl, and that support network sort of like was no longer the hyper focus. And so my work started to suffer a little bit. Didn't quite get the grades that I wanted because I wanted to do a year abroad. I'd actually been accepted for a year abroad at Georgia Tech for like
Wow.
the, yeah, between my second and third year. And I literally screwed everything up because I sort of like met this girl the day before an exam, got absolutely rat ass, turned up to the exam, still half cut, passed only because the exam had to be remarked for everybody because nobody got a decent mark on it. You know, they looked at the paper and it did come across a bit too difficult. Yeah, that happens. So, you know, I got a bit of a lucky break there. But as I, you know, because I thought it was going to be a really good relationship and all this, I stopped. I sort of like withdrew my application to go abroad. As they say in as Tenacious D say, but you know, whenever there's a choice between tits and destiny, always choose tits. And I did. And then she broke up with me that summer, which really screwed up my third year because I felt isolated, and I poured all my energy into playing World of Warcraft, which was great because it kept me sane. But didn't do very well for my what's it called, for my
Academics.
yeah. So I passed half of the things, and I didn't even hand in a dissertation, you know, finally a project thing. And they gave me another shot.
Oh,
They
wow.
said on the third year, it's like, look, we know you can do this. So
And you
this
were
is what
undiagnosed at this point, right?
I was still undiagnosed, yeah.
That's really
Still,
good.
yeah. I you know, it's massively a lot of the it I'd like to say it's down to my boyish good looks and naive charm, but it was massively luck. It was totally down to luck.
I think a lot of it will come down to the fact, though, that you're like generally a likable guy as well. And it's like
Oh.
it'll be the just distract me with that.
Stop, you're making me blush.
It's okay, I can see it on the top of your head.
You've got this to come, yeah.
I actually promised myself, I said I wouldn't make any jokes about the hair. I wouldn't do it.
It's fine.
Anyway, but yeah, no, it's because you are genuinely like a likable guy, then people are like, we want to give you that extra bit of chance. We want to give you that extra bit of help, which is good. But do you think, you've obviously chopped and changed a lot, and I know that you're still doing like courses in your spare time, and like you keep on signing up for more courses before you finish the current ones that you're on, and not judging, just stating. But I love that I just said not judging, just dating on the transcript. But hey, yeah, so do you think that a lot of that's ADHD, a lot of that's the jumping and the hyper focusing on a girl instead of the what's important and that sort of stuff, that's obviously that, but do you think it's the I'm not saying that the girl wasn't important, it doesn't matter, okay? I know what I'm trying to say. I'm just getting myself all very jumbled right now. It'll happen in a second. Yeah, that's it. So obviously that whole bouncing about and pass switching and career search and all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was that ground level of I'm interested in computing, this is really cool. But do you think that your ADHD then has helped you become successful or hindered you? Because, yeah.
It's definitely, once it was diagnosed, it's helped.
Okay.
When it was undiagnosed, a lot of the negative parts of it, sort of like not being able to focus on things and not having, I was once given the nickname of Furious G because I would get really angry with people for no apparent reason, but
I can't imagine you're angry.
Nah, I mean, I'm chill bloke now. It's great, you know. I'm all zen. I'm like Zenyatta from Overwatch, except without all the balls to throw. Oh, sorry. When it wasn't diagnosed, a lot of the negative stuff was, it was all internalized. I wasn't very, I had this developer ego. So my work was the best and everybody else's was really bad. And if they couldn't work, if we couldn't work as a team, it was their fault. And, the whole, I've been asked to do this. I know I can do it. You know, this, I've been asked to do this task. I know I can do it. It's taken me 3 times longer than it should have done. And I don't know why, but I can't ask for help now because it's like, if I do, then they're going to be like, why, what have you been doing for 3 weeks? Because you've got nothing to show for it. And, you know, it was starting to culminate when I was the job I was at when I got, before I got diagnosed, I was nearly put on a performance review. And it was sort of like the couple of weeks before that happened, I sort of like said to my girlfriend at the time, you know, I'm going to contact this doctor and get assessed for a diagnosis. So I sort of sent an email. It's like, yeah, I've been told this, that, and the other. Went, had my assessment. Within a week, I was diagnosed with ADHD inattentive.
I'm sorry, wait, from when you decided to get diagnosed to...
From when I decided to get diagnosed to when I got my diagnosis was, I think it was 10 days. I got...
I am impressed with mine 8 weeks. Holy hell.
Yeah, it would have been earlier, but when the psychiatrist was talking to my mum was saying that, he was always a gifted child. He was never, he wasn't loud. He wasn't this, that. It's like... Yeah, mum, I'm not perfect. And it was like, well, I still can't really make a decision yet. I need a little bit more evidence. Have you got siblings or anything else? So I says, yeah. So I just like pinged my sister, said, hey, sis, we sort of like talked to the psychiatrist about me from when I was younger and all that. He says, yeah, cool. And yeah, day after it's like, okay. He rang me up and says, look, I do think, you know, from the assessment, I can say that you exhibit, you have ADHD, primarily inattentive, and let's discuss a course of action on it. It's like, cool. So yeah, 10 days. At which point,
sorry,
I was going to say, at which point I went to my work. I says, look, I've just been diagnosed with ADHD. This is all new to me. I don't know what, you know, what to feel about this and all this. Yeah, what to expect. Please be patient and stuff like that. It was like, my manager, who is the CTO of the company, was like, right, thank you for telling us. I'll let you know that we have had a few complaints about your performance, but because you've been proactive and had a, you know, and in seeking help about it, we're gonna like draw a line under it. And you know, we'll support you as best we can. It's like, awesome. And once that had happened, you know, in How I Met Your Mother, you get that glass shatter. There's that glass shattering episode. The glass shattered, and that glass was my developer ego. So once I realized that, yeah, I am, in my words, I am flawed. That's not to say that everybody's flawed, but to me, it was like, I'm flawed, but that's good. That's okay. I'm not perfect. And so I was able to then say, okay, I'm not perfect. I'm going to need help from time to time. I'm going to be able to, I'm going to ask people to help me. I'm going to try and help other people as well, because that will help me. You know, being able to explain things which I've only like kind of understand helps me to solidify that understanding within my own head.
Yeah, I get that 100%.
And from the time I got diagnosed, everything actually looked a lot brighter. It was like, it's like when you have a mystery illness and then you go to the doctor, it says, oh, you've got the flu. And then all of a sudden it's like, I've got the flu. And you start getting better. You know, it could be that your body's had time to fight the infection, but it there's also that kind of
mind of one matter type thing.
Yeah,
as well.
I know what it is. My body then knows what it is to combat that. Let's, you know, we've got a plan of action.
I've said this thing before, and it just about I don't actually know where I've said it, because I think I've said it well. Anyway. The problem with a lot of ADHD diagnoses, I think, is if you imagine that you have like a nail on a doorframe, like on your bedroom doorframe, and every day you walk past that nail and you cut your arm, and then you go to the doctor and go, broke my arm, and every day the doctor cleans it, puts plaster on it, and goes, on your way. And doesn't once ask you how you get the cut on your arm. The ADHD diagnosis is that doctor that goes, how did this happen? And you go, oh, I have a nail in my door and I keep cutting myself on it. And instead of giving you a plaster, he gives you a hammer to go and pull the nail out. And as soon as it's out, you feel better because you don't have that worry anymore of, oh, I'm going to get cut again if I walk past this.
Yeah.
And that's how I think, that's how kind of I think of like the ADHD diagnosis. Like what you're saying about like just clarity of mind type thing. It does help a lot. It is really interesting. Just so basically the hindrance prior to your diagnosis was more of the mental impact of you internalizing your frustration.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lots of big words I just said there. I'm very proud of myself. No. And that's the thing though. I think this is why there are so many people who are determined to get a diagnosis. The problem is once you've got that, you then have to not play ADHD bingo. Which I feel like I've now started to pick more boxes because I was convinced once I did get the diagnosis that I didn't have it. So it's like, oh wait, I do sleep fine. I need to fix that. I need to make sure I don't sleep well anymore. but see, when, so you've said that like your mum's kind of stance was just encouraging. That was it. Did you have something in your head that, like, this is what I want, like, and once I have this, I'll, for lack of a better phrase, in massive air quotes, be happy?
Well, not really. for me, happiness is always, it's a state of mind rather than a state of being. No, something like that. You know what I mean? It's, I could be happy with, like, when I was a student, I was working in a bar, like 3 days a week, and I was eating noodles all the time, but I was happy. You know, nowadays, if I'm eating noodles all the time and, you know, and I'm working in a bar as well as my full-time job, probably not going to be happy. Because I mean, actually, that's a lie. Probably will be. I'm just a happy person, you know. But when things like the negative things happen, like nearly being brought up on a performance review, or you know, saying something to somebody totally accidentally, and then getting really hit up and, you know, hating you forever. You know, those sort of things make me unhappy. I don't know if that's answered the question.
But is it then like the impact of that though? Like, you kind of, it lessens the impact. Like, if you're kind of happier, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I guess it does. I mean, if you're happier,
you both did take our medication today, right? We are, because I feel like we're both like.
I should, probably should have taken mine about 20 minutes ago. My afternoon dose, sort of, yeah, my morning one kind of wears off about now. It's okay. I mean, the impact of being, of not being
success, like your picture of success, that was it.
Yeah.
There we go. Well,
I think being successful and being happy probably go hand in hand.
Okay.
You know, if you're not happy, are you truly successful? Because if you know,
just I could have you're successful doesn't mean you're happy.
Exactly. You know, there's that whole thing about, well, at least it's nicer to cry in the seat of a Ferrari and all that. It's like, well, do you really want to cry in the seat of a Ferrari? You get water on that leather, it's gonna stain, you're really gonna, you know.
And there's the overthinking.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, happiness can lead to success, and you know, it might not do, but success does not necessarily lead to happiness.
Have you always had that mindset, or is that something you've learned through?
That involved me being a little bit more self-aware than I am at the moment.
Fair enough.
It's one of those things. I've always tried to be happy, because at the end of the day, happiness, you know, if I'm happy, then I can make people around me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And if people around me happy, they can make other people around them happy. And it's like an infectious thing.
It's, what's that really depressing film, Pay It Forward?
I've not seen that.
Don't, it's really depressing. But it's basically about a little boy, and it was like, he tries to encourage people to do like one nice thing for three people. And then get them to do it, and so that everyone does. Then it's just like a spread of positivity. But, and that sounds like it would be a happy movie. It's not, because I'm pretty sure it's Haley Joel Osment when he was a kid, and you know, like everything that guy done as a kid was depressing as hell. But yeah, so it's kind of like that. Like, if you're happy, then other people can be happy. But you can't make yourself happy. But it's trying to not let things impact you as much. And see, when you're saying about anger, like how furious Jane thinks, like I went to anger management things when I was 19, and it was because I didn't know where to direct the anger. So, and if there was something that, like, it's like an injustice, I would compress it, and then there'd be another one, and I'd compress it, and then I would explode because, like, someone stood on my lace by accident, and I come down on them like a ton of bricks. And it was trying to get over that, like, the little things don't matter. Try and let them go, which I still have issues with. I do, and I have issues with tone and things. But, and then by that I mean my own tone. I put things across very badly at times. But it's, do you feel like now that you're kind of, you're settled and you're like, right, now, like, I can now do the things I want to do. I'm no longer trying to be successful. I'm no longer trying to cheat. Like, I'm just enjoying where I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to somebody looking on the outside, they would see me as being successful. And, you know, in a way I am. I managed to get a pretty decent job, you know, doing this thing that I really like doing. You know, I've got a house which doesn't have a picket fence because it's privately rented.
And the picket fence thanks to me.
That's true. But yeah, you know, my measure of success is, am I able to do what I want to do? And at the moment, you know, global panini notwithstanding, I can. So, you know, I consider myself successful. And, you know, it's, yeah, I'm happy with that.
No, good. Thank you very much, George.
You're welcome.
I'm going to say that this. I'm going to say this has probably been the most ADHD one yet, because I don't know. I just feel very like away just now. It's the clocks changing. It's that. That's what's done it. It's thrown me through a loop. But no, genuinely, thank you very much. That was great.
Very and welcome.
Obviously, you do a lot of stuff for us, and you're always there to help as well, which I obviously appreciate. But yeah, that was it. Really, I just want to say thank you all for doing this, but also thank you for everything else that you helped me with as well.
Thank you for having me. Hope it's been entertaining.
I hope someone is able to make sense of everything we've said.
I'm sure they will.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by Timo, the award-winning visual planning app that supports routines and time management. Timo was designed specifically to support executive function and empowers users to take control of their schedules. Head to your app store and type T-I-I-M-O into the search bar to learn more. Timo is available on Android, iOS, and smartwatch.